It's showtime.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back. It's Friday. Yeah. Inching toward the weekend, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Two Dumb Yinzers. This is episode 521. How are you guys doing this morning?
Excuse me. I'm doing great, man. I'm ready to go.
All right. Good. Looking good.
Last show of the week.
Derpy's making an appearance today. I like the way this weekend's going, guys. I got a couple things going on here. Derpy. It's not as loud, but I'm getting my Derpy button work, and I Derpy. Still a nightmare. But fact of the matter is, like, I could use it. Derpy. Just got to really listen to hear it. But a couple things before we get started, guys. The movie Beetlejuice. The trailer was released for the new Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, 40 years after the original one was made. And this is expected to be released on September 6th, guys. Michael Keaton from right here in our county, actually. Right outside of our county in Montour, Coriopolis area. He'll be back as Beetlejuice. And Beetlejuice coming out on September 6th. I can't wait. I can't wait to see this. Even if... you know, I think it's just going to be one of them movies that everybody likes. Like, the newer people, younger people are going to think, hey, this is a cool movie just because. But, like, the older people, it has that, you know, the nostalgia and everything.
Yep.
Before we were younger. So I think Beetlejuice should do pretty well, unless it's just, you know, the stupidest movie ever. But
I can't wait. I watched the preview. I liked it.
It's the perfect teaser.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it shows some of the old characters coming back, new characters coming in. Teases Beetlejuice. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I Beetlejuice is one of my favorite movies. Mike Keaton's one of my favorite actors. So Tim Burton's one of my favorite directors. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from watching the show and listening to us, I'm not a big movie guy, but this will be one of them I see. Every once in a while you get a movie that just fits that bill and you're like, yeah, I have to see that.
It needs to be pushed back to October though.
And I'm sure I'll regret it whenever I do because I'll get bored halfway through. I mean, not because the movie's bad, just because that's what I do.
Yeah, your attention span like a toddler.
It is, and then I'll be like, oh, I've never watched the movie ever again.
It's like, I'm done with this.
And then another movie like this will come along a couple years down the road.
Yeah.
It'll happen all over again. That's just been the story of my life.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. I guess we should probably just dive right into some NCAA basketball. Just because it's the most front and foremost thing going on in sports right now. We do have a lot of Steelers to talk about, some other Pittsburgh news. But let's start with what can you say about this Duquesne team? They came in number 11. They upset the number 6 BYU. They're moving on to the round of 32 teams. They're back at it. They get a primetime game on Saturday as they take on Illinois. The game is 7:40 on Saturday. If they win, they'll be in a Sweet 16, and then they would have the beginning of next week off, and then, you know, beginning Thursday next week, they would cut it down to 8, and then over the weekend, 4, and, you know, go from there. So, guys, what do you got to say about this Duquesne team? One thing I do know, say what you will, but now, after Duquesne and the Kentucky loss, which we'll talk about in just a moment.
Yeah.
Active brackets, 0.062% of brackets remain perfect after just the first day.
That's insane.
In the first round of the tournament. Mike, Duquesne 71, BYU 67, playing Illinois on Saturday night.
I think the Cinderella run's gonna end this round for the Duquesne Dukes, but that's a hell of a way, you know, to make a statement in that first round. Dramboat's last season coaching. Couldn't ask for anything more perfect. I'd like to see them, you know, win this game.
It's gotta be the shoes, Mike.
It has to be the shoes. LeBron hooked him up. That was like the weird thing for me. I'm like, why is LeBron all over like Duquesne? Why is he sending them shoes? And I was like, oh, I forgot that Dramboat was his high school coach.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's a nice little thing that he did for the team there. And the shoes propelled them. Maybe they can propel them into the second or into the next round. But I think the Illinois team's going to be too tough. But I'm pumped, man. There's a local team actually doing well in the playoffs. Who would have thought?
You know what? That's wild.
We have to wait for the Duquesne Dukes to come around.
Well, that's wild because it's almost like, you know, that's the team that LeBron James supports officially in a sense.
Yeah.
Because he didn't go to college. He jumped straight from high school to the NBA.
Yeah.
So it's almost like Duquesne's kind of his squad.
Yeah.
But as you said, he gave him all new shoes. Maybe that was enough. Mike thinks that the Cinderella season's running out. I got to be honest with you. I don't know much about Illinois. I haven't heard many great things about Illinois to this point. And I'm just wondering, I mean, is it a possibility the Duquesne makes it through the first weekend or through the first week and gets down to the Sweet 16? And wouldn't that be something else if the Duquesne Dukes, amongst the other teams that will be left at that point, would be the 16 teams left out of all the teams in the country? I just think, you know, it isn't like you're playing Purdue. It isn't like you're playing North Carolina. They're playing Illinois.
Yeah, well, they're still a three seed. They got a star player. Yeah, they're good. But, you know, I'm rooting for the Dukes. I just think I don't think they're the team that's going to – that lower seed or that's going to be the one to keep going. I think that's going to be someone else that we'll probably talk about here in a little bit. But I don't think Duquesne's going to be that team. I hope they are. But I don't think they are.
Derby, you were saying before the show, you brought up the fact that the what was it about the students getting to
a professor canceled their class so they could watch March Madness.
Now, what I find funny about this is, you know, we had teachers in my high school that did the exact same thing. They would wheel the TVs in, and we just wouldn't have class those days for the duration of the March Madness. So I don't know why everybody's getting so, you know, they're like, oh my God, these kids, they got to, you know, watch basketball instead of have class. And, you know, like I said, for just a group of kids that lived down the river from Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh was in, or even if they weren't in, it was a lot of teams. People have tournament or people have brackets filled and it's not just Pitt. So a lot of people had interest in this, but for your team, like Duquesne students, it doesn't really surprise me one bit that they got to take the class off to watch the basketball game. I think it's pretty cool. Again, you know, you go to college. College is a whole thing.
Yep.
If you get to enjoy these kind of moments, that's all part of it as well.
Yeah.
I highly doubt that watching the basketball game will wreck your academics.
No. I'm sure the professor probably, you know, he saw this coming up. The professor probably loves the basketball team. So he's like, hell yeah, I want to watch the game. So guess what? I ain't showing up, boys. So
especially considering how historical it has been there since 1977, and they do get in, and they're able to upset a BYU team who's about five or six spots ahead of them. So it was really cool. I'm not counting them out just yet. I don't know enough about Illinois. I do know that if as Mike said, if there's a team that I do want to continue to win and go on, and as an underdog, Duquesne would certainly be it right downtown Pittsburgh. And wouldn't it be something too if a year that Pitt doesn't get in, Duquesne excels and like does really well, and and at the end of the day, these two teams play one another, Pitt's gonna win the basketball game.
That's one thing I'd like to see come back, the city series come back. But that would be funny, the one, you know, the quote-unquote little brother of the two will be the one that made it to the tourney, and you know, they already won one, see if they can make it to the Sweet 16. But like you said, Pitt I think would wipe the floor with them. But hell, you know, let's go Dukies.
I also want to say on the board, good morning to Ron. Good morning to Chris. It's Friday. It's madness. Also, guys, Oakland of Michigan, Horizon ranked number 14. They upset John Calipari's number 3, Kentucky, 80-76. Not quite the welcome homecoming that John Calipari expected.
No.
Also from the Moon area nearby where Michael Keaton's from. He makes the trip home, has a couple of local guys on his team, and they get upset. I was just leaving the radio station last night, and I seen somebody. I can't even recall what it was, but maybe it was just a post I seen as I was scrolling down my phone, and it was like, Oakland, Michigan is about to beat Kentucky. So I hurried over and flipped over, and they're up by 4 with like 3 seconds left. I was like, wow, they're going to win. They're going to win this basketball game. But more impressive, Mike, is the 14 Oakland, Michigan team win over John Calipari's Kentucky more of a surprise to you, or is the Duquesne Dukes winning more of a surprise?
I'm going to go with the Oakland upsetting Kentucky. Kentucky, they're a much deeper squad. They got a couple guys that are going to be playing in the pros here soon. So I think that was more impressive. And like that Oakland team, with their leading scorer, he didn't take any two-pointers. Everything, he shot everything from behind the arc with from the three-point line, and had zero assists. I think it was the best stat line I've ever seen in basketball. Kentucky just got upset by this team where, everyone on this team, they're going to be accountants or, some type of upper management somewhere. They just beat a bunch of guys that are going to be playing in the pros here in a year or two. So yeah. I think that was a more impressive upset than Duke beating BYU.
Yeah, I think so too. Oakland is obviously the, furthest from being the most popular Oakland, of course, Oakland, yeah. California being one.
Oakland,
Pittsburgh is, known quite well because our University of Pitt is out of Oakland. But Oakland, Michigan.
I've never heard of them.
Well, I'm going to give you a little fact. Oakland, Michigan used to be a part of Michigan University, the Wolverines. But they did split off, and now they are their own university. But they used to actually be a part of Michigan.
I this is why I love the NCAA tournament. You find these schools that you never heard of.
Yeah.
And, where are these teams coming from? I love it.
Horizon League.
Exactly. See, Derby's all over this shit. This is why I like having you around, Derby.
They beat my team to win their conference.
Who's your team?
YSU.
The Penguins. Yeah.
Yep.
Long Beach State. Who ever heard of Long Beach State? St. Peter's. This is why I love college basketball tournament time.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you have Snoop Dogg sitting over at his house, high out of his mind, go, man, Long Beach State should have got in here.
But I just talking about Cinderella's, that they're going to have a decent run. I'm thinking Oakland because they're playing NC State. I think they can pull off the upset against NC State.
Yeah, I think NC State wins this game, but we will find out. We will find out over the weekend, guys. It continues through the weekend.
Oakland's that team that can hit the three, kind of like how when Princeton had that run. Coming out of nowhere, they just kept hitting threes. I think Oakland's reminded me of those weird teams that can hit the threes and survive for a couple of rounds. So I think they wouldn't make it to the Sweet 16 and get destroyed.
So these teams here, Mike, these teams, I mean, there's been a thing here in Pittsburgh where people were kind of upset that their Pitt Panthers didn't get into the big tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And they declined the NIT tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this and get this. I got a list of the other teams that declined their NIT bids. Take a listen to this. Arizona State, California, Florida State, Indiana, Maryland, Memphis, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Oregon State, St. Bonaventure, St. John's, Stanford, Syracuse, UCLA, USC, and Washington, along with Pitt, all declined their NIT bids.
Wow.
So I guess it's the thing. If you don't feel that you got where you wanted to, then you just say, you know what, I don't want to do it anymore.
And a lot of them are now using the transfer portal as an excuse.
Right.
Like you have the whole, portions of your staff devoted to that. You have your coaching staffs are bigger than they have ever been. They can handle practice while you do recruiting. So a lot of them are using that. You have, personal issues to why we couldn't make it, but yet you would have made it, you would have went to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You went out to work with the portal and all these personal matters going on as well. So that's just a load of BS. You just didn't get invited to the big dance and you're going to whine and cry about it. No, go play the NIT, win it, get your guys more exposure.
I don't know where the hell you came from.
Help their draft status, Help
you would have been agreeing with me all these years if you would have just said this years ago. But no, you had to fight me tooth and nail every minute of the day.
Well, unless you were legitimately screwed over, you had an undefeated season and they're like, James, I know we're not bringing you here.
I don't know who this James Boyd is, but it was kind of a popular tweet that went out yesterday. He may be somebody. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But he said, declining the NIT is an incredibly weak look for a program. Hooper's hoop. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
Hooper's baller's ball.
Yeah.
If you, I don't know this. I think this says a lot about people and teams and coaches, or I don't know.
Like,
I just,
yeah, unless you, like I said, unless you were legitimately like screwed over to wherever, like, oh my God, you had like this incredible record, one loss, you should be in here. I would be like, you know what? We were screwed. We're going to go home, regroup, think about, you know, shit.
You win nothing then. You gave up. That's what it is. You're giving
up.
But
like all these teams, like, come on, you're using excuses to why you can't go to the NIT, but you wouldn't be using those excuses if you're selected to the tournament.
Exactly.
Go and play.
Hoopers hoop. These guys are, come on.
Yeah, some of these, you know, it might be their last chance to ever play basketball at a high level. Go up, go and play. Have your guys go and play.
I'll talk a little bit about Pitt here for a moment. Dewan Blair, of course, from right here in Schenley. He gets the newest member of the Pitt Basketball Hall of Fame. Dewan Blair is in. It's really cool. I seen it live on Facebook. He announced it yesterday, and then he thought, he was really excited. He's like, I'm about to pass out, blah, blah, blah. Good for him, Mr. Dewan Blair. You all remember him from, 10, 15 seasons ago in Pittsburgh. And then he went on to have a nice career in San Antonio.
Yep.
I do believe he won a ring at one point as well. So congratulations to Mr. Blair.
Yeah, I remember watching him.
He was the big man, 45.
Yeah, he was the coach at that time. Was that?
Might have been Dixon still.
Allen or Dixon, I can't remember. Yeah, which era. But yeah, I remember watching him play. Well done. Also, congratulations.
Also, I was working a couple of these basketball games the other day, these high school basketball games. And the team that I don't remember if it was Aliquip or Lincoln Park beat Hampton. There was this kid. He's 6'9". His name is Liam Magnonia. He decided to walk on. He's going to be a walk on at the University of Pitt next season. 6'9".
Nice.
Very talented. He can shoot inside, outside. Pretty good addition. Also, okay. Federico, guys, been a member of this Pitt Panther basketball team for a few seasons now. Federico has decided, Mike, to enter the transfer portal.
Ooh,
Federico's leaving. The guy with two same names. I don't even know. Is it a first name? Is it a last name? I don't know.
he's just a thing, like, you know, like Seal and Prince.
Yeah, and Derpy. Yeah.
So I don't. Why is he entering the portal? He had a decent amount of playing time, didn't he?
I don't know.
What his deal is. Yeah,
he sounds salty.
He seems to underperform every time I get a chance to see Pitt play. Yeah. I just wish I could see more from Federico, but he never amazes me.
Yeah.
He's always just kind of been staying at that one level since I've been watching this guy play, and it's been at least the last two seasons. Also, guys, a commit, Brandon Cummings, the younger brother of Nellie Cummings, mm-hmm. who was just Pitt star guard last year, younger brother Brandon from Midland, PA, was leading scorer last night in Lincoln Park's state championship win. They beat Archbishop Carroll 80-50. Brandon Cummings scores 37.
Nice.
And a whole shitload of three-pointers. This dude went off. Big spotlight, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Yep. He goes off, scores 37. Lincoln Park wins back-to-back state gold in 4A.
Now that's how you close out a high school career right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Capel was watching this.
No, yeah, he was loving it.
Also, today, Aliquippa gets a chance. They get a chance to go back to the state championship game. They play Holy Cross. That game's at 2:30. And finally, the Blackhawk girls, the teams from our county, Blackhawk girls, they do play tomorrow at noon. So high school basketball is almost done, guys. This weekend is going to be it. We have a chance to have three of our teams from right here in the Beaver County and some more around the way from the Whippeel. But Lincoln Park did win 80-50, and it wasn't even close. I tell you what.
You sent me that score at the end of the first quarter.
It was 25-10.
It was 25-10,
and I sent that to Mike. And at that point, I think Cummings already had like 18 points or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, do you think he's going to start as a freshman?
He may. But there was something very interesting about this. This Archbishop Carroll team, the best team from the eastern side of the state, all their starters were freshmen and sophomores. Almost like that Michigan team, the Fab Five, Michigan with Weber and them. This Archbishop Carroll was all freshmen and sophomore starters.
They should be back next year and the year after.
look out for them. I
yeah,
mean,
come they should be a team on the rise right there.
And it was, and one of the announcers even made a point to say, I mean, look at this dude. He was in eighth grade. He was in the middle school last year, and he's covering Pitt, you know, the new Pitt
Yeah,
Panther.
someone who might be starting in the ACC next year.
Right. And could very be well be in the NBA, you know, years down the road because this kid, I'm telling you, the announcer's going on and on. He says, I've never, literally never seen anybody out of Beaver County play this good. This is the best basketball player I've ever seen. He goes on and on. And we've had guys make it to the NBA. So I think that, you know, at this point, there's still a long way to go. But at this point, I'd say he has a chance one day.
Yeah, I hope he does make it. Even though he is going to Pitt, but I like Pitt basketball. So I like him.
Right. Good morning on the board, Brian. Brian got the scoop. What school was that, Brian? Brian says Jeff Capel's daughter won the girls' Whippoorwill championship this year.
I forgot about Bull Bull. What do Bull's son?
Bull Bull.
Bull Bull.
That's right.
I forgot about Bull
forgot
Bull.
About Bull Bull.
How can you forget about Bull Bull?
Aye, aye, aye. What else do we got? That seems to be everything I'm going to touch on college basketball again today. They do start up for – it goes on through the weekend. So enjoy, guys. There's going to be upsets. I'm not even going to try to predict who's going to upset and other things like this because we do have a lot of stuff we still have to go over today, guys. And I don't have the schedule right in front of me to see who's all on deck to play. But I'm sure there will be more upsets. And, again, Saturday night, don't forget to check out the Duquesne Dukes against Illinois. That game is 7:40.
Let's go, Dukies.
If they win, they'll be going to the Sweet 16. Ain't that crazy?
That's insane. That's insane. I hope they make it. I'm rooting for them.
That'd be something, man.
If they slow down Terrence Shannon, they might have a chance.
Yeah.
But then, as you said, you know, you got this Oakland team. They beat Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky's a three. That's a pretty big –
Yeah, it's a
that's
big
a pretty
upset.
Big upset.
Yeah. You know, NC State, you know, the NC State, you know, pulled off a quasi upset 11-6 again over, you know, they beat Texas Tech. So
who did this?
NC State. They won 80-67 against Texas Tech.
You know what? They figured out a way to beat North Carolina.
Yeah.
This season. And you know what? Not many teams could do that. You know, you gotta watch that North Carolina State, man.
I just want to see Oakland win. It's just Oakland.
Yeah, right.
And you don't know where they're from. They're a mystery.
No, nobody knows. Let me just go down some of these games today before we move on. I do understand that this is big and people love this time of year. So let's just cover a little bit more, guys. Number three, Baylor plays 14 Colgate. A 9-8 matchup between Northwestern and Florida Atlantic. Let me try to find some. Marquette, the number two, is taking on Western Kentucky, who's a 15. UConn, number one, is taking on a 16, Stetson.
Stetson. Where the fuck's Stetson?
I don't know, Mike.
Number six, Clemson, and 11, New Mexico. Yale and Auburn. Number seven, Florida. Number 10, Colorado. Number four, Duke. Number 13, Vermont.
Let's go Vermont, baby.
Here's my team. Number one, Purdue. Number 16, Grambling State.
Let's go Grambling.
Number four, Alabama. 13, Charleston. Number one, Houston. Number 16, Longwood.
Longwood,
baby.
That's my favorite team.
Right there, man. You know, sounded like we're shooting a porn, but okay. Let's go Longwood.
Grand Canyon versus St. Mary.
St. Mary's, isn't that the one that got that old nun that comes out in a wheelchair now?
I don't know, but it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Oh, okay. They don't have Sister Jean. Loyola. Okay.
And then all the games for tomorrow are lined up and set because they are the teams that played and won yesterday, which includes Arizona Dayton, Kansas Gonzaga, Norfolk State, Alabama A&M, North Carolina, Michigan State.
Powerhouses.
And, you know, some of the other ones we talked about. So there are a lot of basketball games. And I said, again, if you have a bracket, you have less than 1% chance of having that bracket still be correct at this point, thanks to Oakland and Duquesne.
Bracket busters.
Busted.
I saw it was like a B. John Robinson, the running back for Atlanta. Last I saw, he still had the perfect bracket after those two upsets.
All right, he's set. It's hard to win.
It is. It
usually
is.
That autistic kid wins. You ever see that?
Yep.
He wasn't even, it was like worse than autistic. There was something. He couldn't live life, but yet he managed to pick every game. He knew how to
pick the teams.
I'd rather have that skill. I don't know how to live life either, and I can't get a win bracket.
Jesus Christ.
guys, let's go over to the Steelers for a few minutes. Free agency winners. This is a list of your top five free agency winners. Mm-hmm. Mike, do you have any guesses who you think is going to be on this top five list of free agency winners in the NFL so far?
I'm going to go with the Steelers, the Texans. Who else had a pretty good haul?
Eagles.
Eagles had a good one. Let's see, who else? Raiders.
Yeah.
Derby, anybody know. You could think
Miami.
Of throw in?
I'm going to go with Miami. They had a good class, too.
Derby, anybody that you could think of?
Did he say the Texans?
Yeah, I said the Texans. Yeah, I think they had
it. It's not a competition.
It's not a competition.
Some ideas.
We're just trying to throw out who we think had some pretty good classes.
I'm blanking right now.
All right, so the top five free agency winners thus far at the moment, from 5-1, number five, the Atlanta Falcons, obviously picking up Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Was Kirk big. Cousins. Number four, the Jets.
That's the Jets.
Number three, the Eagles. Yep. What I find funny about this, we were deemed a weak team because we had Kenny Pickett. They pick up Kenny Pickett. They're having a strong free agency.
But
also,
it's funny how that works, isn't it?
It is. Number two, the Houston Texans. And number one, guys, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Patrick Queen. They've done well. They've done well.
Yeah. Still Patrick got some Wills, holes.
Patrick Queen is my favorite. You know, I just love it. I cannot wait to see him out there on the field in his Steeler gear, especially against the Ravens. I just love it. I love what's coming up. And they matched us over there, Mike. They did match us. They matched us twofold. It's just one. They matched us because they did. They re-signed Arthur Millett. So now they have one of ours. We have one of theirs. We have Patrick Queen. They have Arthur Millett. So
I think we kind of won that signing battle right there.
Just like we've been winning them against them for 4 years now, right?
Exactly.
We won seven of the last eight.
Seven of the last eight, baby. 12 out of the last 14, I think.
This team was the number one team in the league last year. They had the MVP.
We whooped their asses.
17-10 both times. Also, James Pierre, the cornerback for the Steelers, he signs with the Commanders. He's no longer a Steeler. You won't see number 42 out there trailing people scoring and running.
Yeah, not a huge loss.
No. So there it is. Former Steelers Arthur Millett with the Ravens. Again, James Pierre with the Commanders. I got some numbers, guys, some startling numbers. As I came out the other day, I was going on and on about Justin Fields' great rushing numbers. You remember that day?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I also come across this. And this is why I think it kind of evens out with him, because his numbers rushing the ball is so great.
Mm-hmm.
His 3 years passing, he had 1,870. 2,242, and then 2,562. He's yet to still have a 3,000 yard season, which is a bit of a concern for me. And the other concern, guys, is this. In three seasons, he fumbled the ball 16 times already.
Yeah, he has fumbling issues.
Terrible mind.
Well, I mean, you still have to hold on to the ball.
He's still
going
to hold on to the ball. That's where, you know, that's what scares me the most of, like, takes off running, the ball security right there. And
so
getting hit from being the blind side hits.
And if you wonder why, you know, he was out there so long.
Yep.
If you wonder why, you know, he stayed available, these could be the things that kind of even him out.
Yeah.
His rushing numbers are great. They're great. They're better than anybody else in the league.
Yeah.
He's rushed more than Lamar, than Jalen Hurts and Allen. But yet these passing yards and the amount of fumbles that he has had in such a short period of time. That's a concern to me. And again, that's why, you know, probably why they're looking for a new guy and why he was around long enough for us to get. Speaking of the new guy, Mike, what were you telling me about Caleb Williams yesterday? You were saying something about the teammates in Chicago.
Yeah, like Jalen Johnson. Yeah, their top cornerback, the one the Steelers fans wanted us to get. He was like, you know, you got to leave that Hollywood stuff behind. You can't come in here, you know, acting like you're the big dog, blah, blah, blah. Like, and Caleb Williams, like, he's, you hear stuff like his people say, oh, I want an ownership stake. Oh, his people say Caleb Williams wants this, but you never hear Caleb Williams say anything. You never hear him bad talking teammates. He's always been respectful, you know, respectful and, you know, a great teammate.
Yeah, I've never seen
anything. A weird guy. He's, you know, he does some weird things, but when it comes time to ball, he can ball, and he doesn't seem like he has that big ego and attitude.
He kind of puts me in mind of personality-wise, like Russell Wilson in a way.
Yeah, yeah, like they're weird guys.
Yeah.
They're weird dudes who know how to play. And, like, that's not creating a good atmosphere for someone to come in.
And as we were saying off the air, Mike, this is what the, you know, these kind of
things.
This
is what the Bears do.
This is what keeps the Bears where the Bears are. This is what keeps the Browns where the Browns are. The Browns paying $10 gazillion to Judge Judy. I mean, you know this isn't going to work out for them. You know this isn't going to work out for them.
No.
They have a quarterback and a receiver who you're paying a king's ransom to, and this, you know, it's going to go bad. The quarterback, it already started to go bad. If you think that this is going to turn around for these Browns and these moves are going to make these guys champions, you're out of your mind. There's never been anything in Cleveland to indicate that that's ever going to happen. And until I see it, I'm going to feel the same thing, because I've had the same opinion for many decades. And guess what? They still haven't proved me wrong. Mm-hmm. So I will never jump on the Brown bandwagon to that sense. It's just crazy to me. Come on, these two guys, you're paying, you know, that's
injury prone.
Yeah.
They're both injury prone. Exactly.
Yeah. And like back to the Bears too, like their front office, they're kind of setting that team up for success for Caleb Williams. And then you got players saying, already giving him attitude. They haven't even met him yet.
These are the kind of guys you try to weed out of your locker rooms.
And this is the guy they just give the huge extension to. Whereas, like Keenan Allen, who was just signed one up to the USC Pro Day, was hanging out with Caleb Williams.
So let's take a look at this.
Trying to get to know him.
Let's see if we can figure this out, Mike. This guy that's causing problems already, they say, hey, let's make a team around him. Give him money. Give him a whole lot of money to stay here. Yeah. And we have a guy who's causing some issues, some would argue, and we say, you know what, let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
Which one of these two teams are going to be more successful down the road?
The one that's weeding out
exactly
the bad apples. And, like, you hope, like, I watched that interview. I'm hoping stuff was, like, taken out of context in the clips that they showed, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels like, you know, he's trying to set that tone of, like, I don't know what. Like, well, he's never even met the guy. You're only getting what you see from, you know, what the media presents about Caleb Williams. That's what you're going to base your opinion off of.
No, I haven't seen anything.
Do what Keenan Allen did. Go to the pro day, meet the guy, interact.
I haven't seen anything that would make me think anything. You know, it's just a general football fan who kind of keeps his eye on ESPN.
Yeah.
I see nothing about this guy that's a concern in that sense. I really don't. I think that, everything that I've seen about Caleb Williams looks pretty promising.
Yeah, I know. So like, he painted his fingernails on the head, F whoever they were playing. Like, hey, if that's what you need to get up to for the game, to put that in your, to F whoever we're playing, go own that. He, you know, they lost, but he owned it. Like, you know,
better than some of the stuff I've heard some of these guys say before, too. I mean,
players do stuff like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I have no idea what that Jalen Johnson.
I've done crazier stuff like that in the privacy of my own bathroom.
But I don't get it. Like, you haven't met the guy. Why trying? You know, saying to the media for this guy to hear it of, hey, when you come here, you got to keep this shit. No, reach out to the guy, interact with him first. Then let him know, hey, man, this is how our locker room is. How do you think you're going to fit in? Stuff like that. You know, people try to be leaders who aren't leaders. This is what you get.
Brandon Ayuk, of course, was the big news the last day we were on. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were having a lot of speculation. He may be the new Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. But another name has came up, Mike. I think you may have even mentioned it the other day.
Yep.
This wide receiver out of Washington, the Commanders, Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I knew very little about it. I heard the name. You know, to see somebody have success with Washington, you just kind of always have to put that into perspective, what's going on down there. But the more I'm seeing this Terry McLaurin, he looks like he might be a pretty promising receiver. And at this point, man, we got to make a move, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, I would love to get him. He's a damn good player, damn good route runner, damn good set of hands, and be able to put up the numbers he has down there on those bad teams is impressive. Over, 5,200 yards in 5 seasons, so over 1,000 yards every season. 14, his average per reception is 14 yards. Big plays right there, 25 touchdowns in those 5 years, so like to see the touchdown numbers higher, but you know, those teams suck. Get him on a team like Pittsburgh who has a quarterback who can throw a decent amount of touchdowns, those numbers will go higher. And he'll, and key thing I like, he only has one fumble in his career. You know, we've seen DJ fumble, we've seen Juju fumble, we've seen Ed Freiermuth fumble key situations away. This would be a guy who has damn good ball security. That's what I like to see. I think he would be the perfect replacement for DJ, and he would be an upgrade.
Oh, no shit. Did you see the video that that's going around of DJ and all of his cluster fucks over the years where he's running in the open field and the ball just flies out of his hand? And
I
thought, anything is going to be better than him at this point. As I said, this Terry McLaurin, he seems good. And then, you know, the other guys that we were mentioning is still out there. Of course, the money is it's going to be it's going to be an issue because the big contract that was signed over in Cleveland, that moves the money market around a little bit for the receivers. So, you know, who knows at this point who we're going to get, but it's got to be somebody. I mean, we don't have the personnel right now. We need a receiver that could be a number two guy.
Like, we need receivers. Or a one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, like, right now on our roster, we got, excuse me, receiver wise, we got Calvin Austin. I think Boykin, I think he's still there or might be a free agent. Marquez Callaway, Dez Fitzpatrick, Kalai Harris, Van Jefferson, Denzel Mims, George Pickens, and Deuce Watts. Yeah, we need receiver help.
Take all them guys, bundle them up.
Pick up Reynolds.
Reynolds. Pick all those guys that you just mentioned. Ravens. Bundle them up with a couple of 6-round draft picks, and let's get somebody.
Like, we need something here for receiver-wise. That's like, you know, I know the talks with Tyler Boyd kind of broke down due to money, but, you know, the longer it drags on for Tyler Boyd before he signs, and after the draft happens with the deep receiver class, you're losing money. These receivers that are holding out trying to make more money, you're losing money in the long run because this is the deep receiver class. And, you know, you're easily replaceable. You know, it's the NFL. It's not for long. You know,
Kenny Pickett's house in Cranberry up for sale, guys. $2.7 million. If you have an extra $2.7 million, you could buy Kenny Pickett's house in Cranberry, Pennsylvania. Mike, does it come with the Levin furniture?
I think it would come with the Levin furniture.
The value is. Everybody knows that Levin furniture.
That's not that Kenny Pickett lived there.
No,
Levin furniture in there. That's why I would buy the house.
I don't even think if you lived there the shorter period of time that he did, you could even say that he lived there. I mean,
no,
like
yeah,
he stayed there.
It doesn't even look like the worth of the amount.
No, it's not. But that's what you're gonna, if you're in Cranberry and you're buying a house that's being sold by Kenny Pickett, you're going to pay at least $2 million.
Yeah, you know, just because all of Pro Football Player lives here, we're going to jack the price up.
Right.
That's really what it is. But I think the Levin furniture is the sweetener.
That would be
why I would put down the money, is for the Levin furniture. That has to come with it.
What if never mind.
Don't go there.
I know.
Don't go there.
All right, it's Friday. I'm not going to go there.
All right.
I was just going to say, if his wife would have left a pair of panties behind, Mike, would you have kept them?
He went there.
I wouldn't have been able to live with myself throughout the weekend if I wouldn't have asked.
I knew there was going to be something involving Kenny's wife. I didn't realize we were going that far off the end on Friday.
Would you keep them or no?
You know what? I'd get one of those big frames that you put the jersey in and have them right in there.
All right.
That thing would be more valuable than a Kenny Pickett jersey.
That's all I wanted to know. Yeah. Here we go, guys. I need some predictions. This is our March predictions. I'm going to give you every team that the Steeler plays this season and where they play, and we're going to predict if they're going to win or lose
this.
Each particular game. This is our March version, previous to the end of free agency, previous to the draft. We're going to pick and see where we think the Steelers will land. Guys, they play two against Baltimore, one at home, one on the road. What do you think they do? We've beat them pretty, you know, impressively over the past four seasons. Mike, Derpy, Baltimore, two games. What do you think?
I think this is the year Baltimore picks one back up. I think we split this year.
Derpy, is that fair to you? All right.
Same.
So we got us a 1-1. The Cleveland Browns, who we also play one on the road, one at home. Guys, the Cleveland Browns, two games.
We're back to smacking that ass. It's 2-0, Pittsburgh.
Derby?
Give me that sweep.
All right, so we're 3-1 at this point. Cincinnati Bengals, also two games, one on the road, one at home. What do we do with the Bengals, guys?
We sweep them like we did last year.
Derby?
I'm actually going to go split.
Go with the split, all right. Now I'm going to get the home games first, and then we'll do the away games. This is no particular order. Guys, here we go. Home games. The New York Jets.
Win. Win is a win, baby. We're winning.
Derpy, you can just shout it out if you want. This is one thing where you can just shout it out if you want.
You don't crash and burn Jets.
All right, New York Giants. We get both New York teams at home this year. You guys got us both. Both you guys got us winning the Jets game. What about the Giants?
Well, we're sweeping New York, baby.
Derpy?
A little Giants.
You want that? You think the Giants are going to win?
No, I'm just saying that they're little and we're going to win.
The Chargers, guys. We have the Chargers at home.
Oh, we're going to win that one. That team is dismantled.
And finally, the two toughest games that we have at home this year, with the exception of the ones in our division, one being the Cowboys. Should be a really good game.
Ooh, I hate to say it, but I might take the Cowgirls in this one.
Same.
And the Chiefs. The Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
All right. On the away side, these are the teams that we get to play on the road, which I think are a lot easier. So I do like the schedule, with the exception of one team. But let me start here in no particular order. On the road, we get to play the Broncos in a game which they pay our quarterback to beat them.
Mike Russell Derby. Wilson's going off that game, baby. He's throwing for 400 and four touchdowns.
So the thin air of the mile high, we win this game on the road.
Yes.
Next game on the road. Again, this is not the next game per se, but this is just a game that's on the road. The Washington Commanders, guys, we play this one on the road as well. What do you think?
I think this is one where we trip up, where we're rolling and we should win, where we lose
the trap game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The Las Vegas Raiders are on the road. Back to Las Vegas.
But, you know, we whooped their asses last year in Vegas. We went in again.
Derpy, Raiders.
Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. Three teams left, guys. These games are all on the road. One, I don't know much, but an improved Atlanta Falcons team where we've generally had success in the past going down to Georgia and winning this football game. Guys, they have a new man under center, Kirk Cousins. We go to Atlanta. Do we win or do we lose this football game this year?
Oh, this is Arthur Smith's revenge game, baby. Okay. We're winning that shit.
And it'll be emotional for the Hayward boys.
The Hayward. Cam, this is the game Cam Hayward will have three sacks and have a monster
game.
I thought
it was Clam. I thought it was Clam.
No, it is Clam. But with all the emotion and the story that he can write and build up to it, yeah, he's falling out, baby.
He'll fall on four guys and he'll make two tackles.
Yeah, and he's going to have three sacks that game.
So there you go, Clam and the Falcons. Two teams, Mike, the Colts. The Colts, we go to Indianapolis again. The Indianapolis Colts, guys.
Okay, I'm taking the Steelers in that one. We're revenge, baby.
You might get Joe Flacco, who knows?
That's true. But we're going to win that one.
I think I'm going to go with the Colts in that one.
All right. And finally, the last team, again, not in any particular order, but this is the last team we have to talk about that we play on the road, guys, the Philadelphia Eagles. We do play the Eagles. We may get to see Kenny depending on, you know, what's going on in the world at the time. And, you know, maybe Jalen goes down with a hammy. Who knows? Philadelphia Eagles in Philly, guys. Mike Derpy.
We've had like the roughest time playing at Philly forever. Like Ben couldn't even win there. Philly. Hate to say it, but Philly.
Give me the Steelers.
All right. What about this? So now they have Barkley. Now they made some key pickups. Did anybody see what Barkley's daughter said?
Yes.
I did not.
She goes,
I did see that.
She says, does this mean we're going to win now? Because our dad's on Philly and not New York.
Probably.
His daughter is a hater, man. I love it.
I think he stayed in New York way too long.
Yeah,
because they franchised him, so he got stuck there.
He's been. I mean, Saquon could be injured
too. So,
what's up?
I said Saquon could be injury prone too.
Yeah,
but that's because the Giants just their O line stinks.
Yeah, that O line sucked. You know, run him till his wheels fall off. And
these are speaking of running backs. These are your first running backs drafted over the past 10 seasons, guys. See if you could remember any of these names. See who still withstood the challenge of time. Bishop Sankey. Bishop. Is that how you pronounce his name? In 2014, Bishop Sankey was the number one overall drafted running back in 2014 by the Tennessee Titans.
Never heard of him.
2015, the Rams took Todd Gurley.
There's one.
I remember Gurley.
2016, the Cowboys took Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke,
feed the beast.
2017, Jaguars picked Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
2018, the Giants took Barkley. 2019, the Raiders took Josh Jacobs. 2020, Clyde Edwards-Helaire went to the Chiefs.
He didn't last long down there as a starter.
Ooh. Nope.
2021, Najee Harris, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Turned it into a pretty good pick.
2022, Breece Hall to the Jets.
Oh, yeah, he had that devastating knee injury, and he came back pretty well last year. Good player.
In 2023, Bijan Robinson in Atlanta.
Oh, he's a solid back. I love the way he runs. He reminds you kind of like Lev Bell.
So these running backs, I mean, with the exception of Sankey in 2014.
Was it Bishop Sankey?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, now I kind of remember him now.
And Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know. He got drafted by Tennessee. But everybody else did pretty good for themselves.
Yeah, they did pretty well, yeah. Todd Gurley had a nice...
Yeah.
Nice. He had a nice window short run. Where he was short run, but where he was dominant.
Yeah. But those are your last 10 first running backs drafted overall in the draft.
It's nice to see running backs starting to get picked in the first round again, too. People say like all running backs aren't important, but if you can get a stud running back in the first round, that they're so much more talented than a guy who serviceable you can find later in the draft.
Right.
They're difference makers. You can see it. Like a lot of those guys, they are difference makers. They can pass game, running game. They're just the complete player. So much better than the guys you find later on.
Penguins back in action tonight, Mike. The Penguins are in Dallas. Penguins coming with a 30-29-9 record. Keeping their head above water.
Yeah.
They're going down to Texas to play the Dallas Stars. Dallas comes in with a 42-19-9 record. This game's 8 o'clock tonight, Mike. You want to take a stab what these guys might do?
We're gonna get our asses whooped.
The ice is breaking.
Yeah, we're done. We're so far out of a playoff hunt now. We're what 9 points back of a wild card spot. Just what a week ago we were 5 points back. So this team's done.
The fall continues.
The fall continues. Just keep losing. Keep losing and try and get that better draft pick or better odds in the lottery.
I think they win tonight. They beat these teams for some reason. They end up losing to teams that are their level and lower, it seems. And they tend to beat these teams. And they do it impressively where they're like, why aren't you doing this every game?
Yeah.
And they go back and they play a terrible team next and they lose. So I can't figure these guys out, Mike.
We're in a 3-6-1 run and Dallas is on a 7-3 run.
That's right why now. I think we'll win.
Yeah.
That's the yeah. most Penguin thing I could think of.
It is true. Hey, man, at least we got the Duquesne Dukes.
That's right. And the Pittsburgh Hounds. The Riverhounds back at it tonight, tomorrow as well. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. down at Highmark Stadium, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds play the Louisville FC. So get down to Highmark tomorrow. Show your support. They're adding on to the stadium, guys. So continue to go down there. They're going to triple the amount of seats, add some other things, rooftop bars, this and that. Riverhounds, go check them out.
Hounds, man. Talk about it like a franchise that has, you know, just over what the past two decades, just turned themselves into a nice organization and a good team for like the level they play in.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that the team was like a joke when they first started. And now they're legit in their field or in their level of competition.
Buccos take the loss yesterday to the Toronto Blue Jays. Big Stacks, Brian Reynolds, and Triolo hit home runs. Excuse me, sorry about that. The Pittsburgh Pirates now have 48, a league-leading 48 home runs in spring training. They still have about six games left, I think, before they start regular season. 48 home runs in less than a month. The next best team is the Baltimore Orioles. They have 42. And the last place team is the Cardinals, who you remember had none a couple weeks ago. They did manage to get themselves a handful. They have 15 at the moment. But the Pirates, the Pittsburgh Pirates, have 48 home runs, six home runs ahead of a really good home run hitting team in Baltimore.
Hopefully they can keep it going into the regular season. That's what we need. Need that power, man, because that can strike fear into pitchers, man, with that power.
I got to tell you, the game that they played against the Yankees 2 days ago was a nightmare. They lost 12-0. Giancarlo Stanton, he hit a home run so far in the first inning that they went on and talked about it until the next time he came up in the second inning where he hit another one out.
Uh-huh. Yep.
12-0. Pirates took that L to the Yankees. They're back at it tonight.
But didn't he hit three home runs that game?
I stopped listening to it after.
I saw a tweet. It was like, you know, they showed the distances and they kept getting shorter and shorter. And I forget what beat writer it was, said, hey, you know, he's getting tired now, so we have a chance.
You're right.
Pirates he's back like, in you know, doing today, the home run derby. He ran out of gas.
They play the Baltimore Orioles today. We got to play the Orioles a lot. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
They just have a good team. And, you know, you play better teams, you get better mm-hmm. results, you know, so. Pirates back at it today at 6:05. Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
TheTwoDumbYinjures.com. Over there, we got Ryan and I social media links. Excuse me. We got our merch store and we got the blog over there. Check it out. TheTwoDumbYinjures.com.
Go check it out, everybody. It's a really good website. www.TheTwoDumbYinjures.com. It's www.TheTwoDumbYinjures.com. Really, really, really good looking stuff. As I complimented Mike lately, I thought that the website looked really great, man.
Thank you.
Guys, it's time. It's time for the last trivia of the week. We couldn't have it be anything else, in my opinion, than the March Madness trivia question, guys. What do you think? March Madness time?
Let's do this.
Derpy, let's March dance. Madness. All right.
Let's dance.
This is the question of the day going into the weekend. This is your March Madness trivia question. Here we go. Derpy, put on your thinking hat. Here we go. What is the lowest seed team to ever win an NCAA basketball championship?
Ooh.
I'm looking for the lowest seed to ever win an NCAA basketball championship. Of course, we know that the number 11 Duquesne Dukes won. The number 14, Oakland of Michigan, wins first-round games over higher-ranked teams. But I want to know, what is the lowest seed to ever win a big dance tournament for the national championship? Take a minute to think that over, guys. We're live, everybody. We're live 5 days a week from Monday through Friday right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. And then every day we take the show that we do live every day, and we put it into podcast form, and we put it up on Spotify at 8 o'clock p.m. If you missed this show or you would just rather listen to the show, you could always go over to Spotify after 8 o'clock p.m. and listen to it every day. Check it out. All right, gentlemen, The question of the day is this. It's a March Madness question because March has just been madness. The question of the day is this. What is the lowest seed to ever win an NCAA basketball championship? Guys, I'm going to give you a hint. It could only be 1 through 16.
Funny.
Hey, I gave you a hint. Mike, you want to take a stab at it? What is the lowest seed?
I'm going to go with 12.
Number 12. And is this your final answer?
Final answer.
All right. Mike said 12. 12 is the lowest seed to ever win an NCAA basketball championship. Derpy, what do you think? Who do you think had the – what was the lowest seed? Ron on the board says 10. Brian on the board says 9. Mike says 12.
Give me 8.
Derpy says 8. Is this your final answer?
Yes.
All right, I'm locking Derpy, and everybody got a different answer. I like that. All right, here we go. What is the lowest seed to ever win an NCAA basketball championship? Mike says 12. Ron on the board says 10. Brian on the board says 9. Derpy says 8. In 1985, Villanova was the team. They beat number one Georgetown 66-64 to win the national title. The seed that the Villanova team was number 8.
Ah.
And that is the lowest seed to ever win a national championship. Three other 8 seeds made it to the game, but they all lost, Villanova being the only one. Brian did get the team. I do know that Brian on the board is a Georgetown fan, so that probably has something to do with what he does know. But, Brian, it was 8. 8 is the lowest seed ever to be won in the NCAA tournament. Mike, does anybody lower than 8 win it this year?
No.
No?
No.
No.
I think there's too many good teams right now.
So there even you though go.
Some of them are getting knocked off, I think it's still top heavy, and they're just going to be so much better.
Mike, what do you got before we get ready to take off for the weekend, man?
Just saw this tweet. Most expensive offenses in 2024.
Okay.
Browns lead the way at $188.8 million. The Chiefs are fourth at $152.8. Pittsburgh Steelers, dead last, $64.8. When people say we need to keep adding to the defense, we need offense.
We literally have one
legit wide receiver.
Yeah, we got two nice running backs, though. Gotta admit,
we got that going for us, you know.
And we got tight ends, and we got things.
You know, if this was the 70s, we'd be steamrolling towards the Super Bowl, baby. Right.
Derpy, what do you got?
Omar Khan, get me a receiver, please. That is not Van Jefferson.
I forgot. We got two NFL receivers, barely.
You getting nervous, Derpy?
I am kind of getting nervous.
I know. Me too.
Trust Omar Khan, Derpy.
My thing is I'm just going to kind of give you a rundown of the things that we do have going on over the weekend as far as games. I'm going to start at the high school level. Aliquippa today playing for the state title in double A against Holy Cross, 2:00 p.m. in Hershey, PA. Tomorrow, the Blackhawk girls play at noon for their chance to win. Aliquippa made it last year to the States. They did not win that game. They're trying to win it this time around. Again, Blackhawk tomorrow at noon. If you're interested in following this Duquesne, the special ride that they're on.
Hell yeah.
Duquesne Dukes are back at it tomorrow in prime time at 7:40. That game's going to be against Illinois. And we'll be on TV, so enjoy. Root for Duquesne. It'll be something if this team can make it to the Sweet 16 round.
Hopefully they make it. I'm rooting for them, but I think the odds are against them.
The Pittsburgh Penguins back in action tonight. They play the Dallas Stars in Dallas. Penguins 30-29-9 coming into the game. That game is at 8 o'clock tonight. Pirates back in action today after losing to Toronto yesterday. They play the Baltimore Orioles. 6:05. And also, guys, as I said, the second part of the first round games are going to be played today. We mentioned a bunch of the games earlier on in the show. and it goes through the weekend. So you're going to see the teams that won yesterday play tomorrow, and you're going to see the teams that win today play on Sunday. That's going to cut it down to half. We will be at the Sweet 16 by the end of this weekend for everybody, all the teams that are left. There's going to be 16 teams at the end of this weekend going into next week. And so far we had some pretty fun ones so far with some upsets. So you're going to see more, no two ways about it. And 0.062% brackets are still perfect. So that gives you any idea how exciting this is. We do have that all weekend long. Mike Derby.
This what's, you know, the best tournament in all sports.
That's what they say. I do want to thank everybody for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you. We wouldn't do it without you. We want to thank everybody on the board. You guys always keep things interesting and always come up with great ideas and things to talk about. Guys, one more time before we go to the weekend, we got lots of sports. Also, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds back in action tomorrow. That game's at 4:00. They play Louisville FC. So there is plenty of sports going around in Pittsburgh to watch this weekend and root for. Also, if we can get I'll be doing the most rooting for Omar Khan to get us a receiver.
Yes.
I'm getting a little anxiety, but you know what? I have trust. I trust him. I think he'll get it done.
Yeah. I have confidence that he'll pull something out of his hat.
Maybe Terry McLaurin, maybe Brandon Ayuk. Who knows at this point? At this point, give us something. Everybody, anybody else?
I got nothing.
That
I got
it for nothing. You, Derpy?
Let's enjoy the weekend.
I got nothing.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Stay safe for the Two Dumb Yinzers. Mike in the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, Derpy, myself. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
See you.
No.